What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the greater Moses, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. It's written by regular guest Dr. John Kleinig. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your pastor would deeply appreciate the New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, 1-800-325-3040.
It's always a little bit creepy whenever a large conglomerate of a bunch of big Fortune 500 companies come together and start to dictate bathroom policies.
More and more, God's word is showing up less and less in evangelical preaching.
Every person is going to see something wrong with their pastor. Now, why has the Lord let you see that wrong thing about your pastor? The answer is so that you can pray for them.
Every sin is a form of unbelief, where we do not believe that God's going to take care of us like he takes care of the birds in the air and the flowers in the field.
This is Chaplain Colonel Philip Hauser calling to say that all Christian patriots love doing push-ups while listening to Issues, etc. Carry on.
We've been talking about the book of Hebrews here on Issues, Etc. with Dr. John Kleinig, and one of the things that is rather, I hadn't noticed it before, but it seems rather clear now, and that is that this is a book about movement in a lot of ways. Christ comes down to us, he ascends to the Father, and then he draws us to the Father. In fact, there are an awful lot of references in the book of Hebrews. Draw near, come near. We have come to a mountain, not to one that can be touched. What do all of those mean? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, July the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We will conclude our three-part series on the book of Hebrews, Dr. John Kleinig, here in the first half hour of the program. Then, listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. We'd like to respond to as much of your correspondence as we can. We'll round everything off today talking about, you might have seen the news about this floating around social media, a new genetic study that claims to debunk the Old Testament. And it characterizes the Old Testament claim that Joshua and the children of Israel, when they entered the promised land after the Exodus, following God's command to completely wipe out the Canaanites, did so, and yet they found genetic remnants of Canaanites in modern people, so they say the Bible is disproven. Does the Bible claim that all the Canaanites were wiped out? We'll talk about that with Dr. David Adams, Associate Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary, a little bit later on Issues, Etc. Feel free to join us with a question or a comment anytime during the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Let's begin today's show with part three of our interview recorded last week on the book of Hebrews with Dr. John Kleinig, Emeritus Professor of Exegetical Theology at Australian Lutheran College and author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, the Concordia Commentary on Hebrews. I asked Dr. Kleinig to elaborate on those exhortations in the book of Hebrews to come near, to draw near.
Yes, for me, there's one verb that, as it were, sums up the whole theology of worship in the Old Testament. And that's the verb in Greek, it's prosokhamai, which means to draw near, to come near, to approach. And the picture here is of approaching God in his presence at the temple in Jerusalem. That's the way it was originally used. But now we are able to approach God the Father in heaven itself, together with Jesus then, and to stand on holy ground. So there's four very important key passages which talk about us drawing near to God in heaven itself. The first one is chapter 4, verse 16, where Hebrews says, "Let us then with confidence," the Greek is freedom of speech, and the confidence that comes from freedom of speech, "let us with confidence," with freedom of speech, "draw near," come near, approach, "draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, what's interesting here is that the focus on grace. We approach the presence of God the Father, seated on his heavenly throne, but also Jesus who sits with him on his heavenly throne. It's called the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's the throne from which God the Father, through Jesus, administers his grace to us. So in worship, we then come to receive mercy for ourselves, and we come to find grace, God's grace, to help us and others in time of need. So what's worship about? What's worship in the heavenly sanctuary all about? It's not primarily about the offerings that we bring to God, although that's important too. But the important thing is what we receive directly from God himself. We approach the throne of grace. The picture here is of a king seated on his throne and people coming to petition a generous king. So in the divine service, we approach God, our heavenly king, through Jesus, his son, who is our high priest, our representative. We approach God the Father to receive mercy, the pardon of sins, but also gifts of mercy, everything that we need, but not just for ourselves, but also for others. So we approach to receive for ourselves, and we approach to receive for other people and their needs. That's the first passage about approaching God and our access to God in heaven. The second passage is chapter 7, which is the culmination of the discussion on the comparison between Jesus as high priest and Melchizedek as priest-king. So it culminates in this, verse 23 following. The former priests, that's all the priests in the Old Covenant, were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, that's Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. He remains forever. He is a priest forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the utmost or fully those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus was raised from the dead. He now, as God and man, lives eternally in the presence of God the Father. And he lives there. He has the power that comes from that resurrected life to intercede on our behalf. He intercedes for all people. He intercedes for all people and for us all the time. Before I was born, Jesus was interceding for me. Before I was baptized, Jesus was interceding for me. Every moment of my life, Jesus has been interceding for me, praying for me, pleading for me in the presence of God the Father. He's been praying for God the Father to have mercy on me, to forgive me, to receive me in grace. And because of that praying, because of his intercession for us, we can now draw near to God through Jesus, together with Jesus. He brings us into the presence of the Father, and we're able to participate in salvation, the gift of salvation that God offers to us. Jesus saves us not partially, but totally. And it's through his intercession for us. So he intercedes for us. And by his intercession, he does something that didn't happen in the Old Testament. So the priest entered the holy place morning and evening to intercede for the people. But Jesus has entered the heavenly sanctuary, the presence of God the Father, the holy places in heaven, where he now intercedes for us. But he intercedes for us so that we can come to that same place together with him, and we can pray to God the Father, standing in his shoes, joining in with him. So the picture is, if you like, if you take the Old Testament picture, is that Jesus intercedes for us so that we can join him in the same place where he stands in the presence of God the Father. The third passage, which focuses on, which uses this wonderful verb, is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 following. Therefore, brothers of Jesus, not just brothers with each other, Jesus is our brother. Since Jesus is our brother, since we have confidence, that's freedom of speech, to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. There you have the verb. Since we have been cleansed with the blood of Jesus, since we have the new and living way into the presence of God the Father in heaven, which is the flesh of Jesus, since Jesus himself is our great high priest, we can do what? We can now draw near to God the Father. And we draw near because we have a true heart in the full assurance of faith. We have a heart that's faithful, a heart that has been redeemed, a heart that's been cleansed from sin, and we have the full assurance of faith. We have faith in Jesus, and it's because of our faith in Jesus who makes us clean and makes us holy, our faith in Jesus who offers his flesh, his humanity, as the way by which we have access to God the Father in heaven. Since we have that full assurance, we can now draw near to God the Father in heaven. And we can do so both with body and with soul. We can do so because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus. We have now a good conscience in the presence of God the Father. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. So we draw near with body and soul, with heart and body, if you like, physically and spiritually, into the presence of God the Father every time we participate in the divine service. Now, what surprises me most of all in this is the emphasis on the physical side of worship. We have, if you like, physical, bodily access through the flesh of Jesus, through the humanity of Jesus, into the presence of God the Father. And that means that we can now approach God the Father in this life already with our bodies as well as our souls. And by approaching God with our bodies, we have a foretaste of the resurrection in which we will stand, both body and soul, in the presence of God the Father. Now that for me is just an amazing passage and sums up the whole theology of worship in Hebrews and is also an excellent summary of Luther's whole theology and our Lutheran theology of worship. The last passage, which hinges on or focuses or revolves around the idea of approaching God by faith and in hope, is the passage I read already previously, chapter 12. Here we have a contrast between the access that the people of God had to him in the old covenant to the access that we now have in the new covenant. So just listen to this contrast. But you, that's you plural, you congregation. Now, this is he's speaking about every single Christian congregation, your congregation, my congregation. But you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable angels in festal gathering or joyful assembly and to the church, the assembly of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood for sprinkling that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's where we come. That's what we have access to every time we gather to participate in the divine service. That's where we come when we hear the word of God, the gospel as it's preached to us. That's where we come as we pray for ourselves and the world. That's where we come when we celebrate Holy Communion. We come to the heavenly city, heavenly Jerusalem. We come there and we assemble there together with thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. The angels are there. We gather together with the angels who assist us in praising God the Father and His Son, the angels who help us to praise God, the angels whose song we join in when we sing Glory to God in the Highest and Holy, Holy, Holy. Thirdly, we come to the assembly of God's firstborn sons, whose names are written in heaven. We come together with all Christians around the world. We gather together with them. And so when I worship and St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Glenelg, I'm worshiping together with you in the USA and all other Christians around the world. That's where we come. We come into the presence of God, who is the judge of all. Now, that's in seven. This is the central focus here, where we come. We've come into the presence of God, the judge. But he's a judge with a difference. We come into his presence not to be condemned for our sins, but we come into his presence to be pardoned by him, to receive absolution, to receive his approval, his grace, his acceptance. That's number four. Number five, we come to the spirits of righteous people made perfect. When I attend the divine service, I come and gather there together with my father and mother and all my other dear friends and relatives who have departed from this life. I come there together with Luther and Melanchthon and Augustine and Peter and all the apostles, as well as Jeremiah and Isaiah, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all the people of God. We assemble together with the spirits of the righteous people who have now reached their goal, who are now perfect. Number six, we come into the presence of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The whole of the divine service revolves around the presence of Jesus, the high priest. And he's present there as the mediator of the new covenant. Now, that's to be understood in two ways. He not only mediates the new covenant to us, but he is also the mediator in the new covenant. Just as Moses was the mediator in the old covenant, so Jesus now is our mediator in the new covenant. He brings God the Father to us. He brings us into the presence of God the Father. He mediates between us and all the other members of the congregation. He mediates between us and the angels. He mediates between us and all other Christians. He mediates between us and the saints who've gone before us. But most importantly, he mediates between us and his heavenly Father, who is our judge. And the only reason why we have access to all that's to the heavenly sanctuary, to the angels, to Christians all around the world, to God, the judge, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and even to Jesus himself, is because of the blood of Jesus. Now, that's the surprising central final focus of Hebrews. The blood of Jesus, which is the blood for sprinkling, that speaks something better than the blood of Abel. As you remember, the blood of Abel spoke about vengeance and retribution and judgment for a murderer. Well, the blood of Jesus, who has been murdered by us human beings, speaks to God the word by pleading for us and our pardon, our grace. Pleads for, not for vengeance, but for justification. Doesn't plead for condemnation, but for absolution. It's his blood that is sprinkled on us that speaks the better word than the blood of Abel. Now, this is an amazing, unique expression, the speaking blood, the blood for sprinkling that speaks a better word. Quite obviously, Hebrews here is thinking of the words of institution, where Jesus says, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. So as we receive Holy Communion, the blood of Jesus speaks remission to us, release from sins, both the sins we have committed and the sins that others have committed against us. That lies at the heart of the divine service. That's what we have access to. That's what we come near to when we gather for worship. And it's because of that blood that we have access to all the other good things that God gives to us through Jesus, his high priest. He's our mediator.
That's the conclusion of our three-part series with Dr. John Kleining on the book of Hebrews. Dr. John Kleining is a regular guest, emeritus professor of exegetical theology at Australian Lutheran College and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, the Concordia Commentary on Hebrews. I know a lot of pastors and a lot of young men who are training to be pastors. Any of those young men would, or those old men who are pastors, would greatly appreciate the gift of this commentary. It's a book that's not easy to understand, and they need the expert guidance of someone like Dr. John Kleining, and that's what they will find in the Concordia Commentary on Hebrews. So call Concordia Publishing House and order one for your pastor or a young seminarian that you may know. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. On the other side of the break, we're going to go through your email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, responding to your comments and your emails right after this. And then Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will join us to talk about a new genetic study that claims to debunk a claim of the Old Testament. We'll sort that out in about an hour here on Issues Etc. Listener email and the comment line are next.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel, from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.